So let's start with the fact that I think I have the right person based on sitting in soundcheck, but would you, you know, the listeners don't know that because this is not in Sensoround. Okay. So would you identify yourself, please?
My name is Greg Dooley. I was born in Hamilton, Ohio, May 11th, 1965. It was a Tuesday at 7:30 p.m.
And your mom was happy?
My mom was 17.
Wow. Well, you're younger than me, and I'm not going to tell you about what my mom said.
Okay.
I was born on Mother's Day, which is even scarier.
My birthday falls on Mother's Day quite often.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, May 12th?
Yeah.
I'm May 12th.
May 11th. Nah.
Wow! Taurus is in the room, baby. Yes, I am.
So this is it.
The interview's over. Okay, I have to start with the journal written by Scott.
Okay.
Show you, I do a little research. I'm going to read this to you because this is my favorite thing I've seen on a website in a long time. Then it was off to Atlanta. We've all played Smiths before, so we knew what to expect. What we didn't expect, however, was the guy who wouldn't stop talking during the show. Here's the thing. If you come to see the Twilight Singers play and you stand out front and during the show, you can't stop effing talking to your buddy either. Move to the back of the hall. This is a multiple choice question like we had in school, right? So the people down front don't get pissed and the band don't get distracted by you being a moron. B, leave the venue and go to Starbucks to get more Java and yap your mouth off till, you know, your heart's content. Or allow Greg to, I can say this on the radio, verbally rip you a new asshole from the stage in front of all your friends and then kick you out of the club. Now, I'm just curious about one thing. I was just here for sound check. How did you hear the guy?
It was during a tender piano number that you did not see.
I know you have those.
And listen, man, people talking at a concert, no big deal. But these were drunken people with camera phones screaming at the top of their lungs right next to me about how great their picture on their camera phone looked, and look at this.
High res on that camera phone.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, I sang a verse, I sang a chorus, and then I let the second verse speak for itself. It sort of sounded like that.
I guess I shouldn't open with the question, how's the tour going, right?
You can, it's going, it's actually, I can say this, I've been touring for 25 years this year, and it's the funnest tour I've ever been on, and that is no lie.
Wow.
And probably because Jeff Klein, who is playing with us, I produced his record. He's my dear friend. The After Hours, I produced their record, and I played in their band all last year. I played 60 shows with them in Italy. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. And the band that I have are remarkable players, even more remarkable people, and my friend Mark Lanigan.
Oh, you stole my later question.
Has joined us, so it's like...
Yes, I know a little bit about him.
It's a family outing.
With San Francisco and Los Angeles, speaking of the tour, I do believe you're done with the American side.
For now. We're going to do it again.
You're going to circle back. But then you're off to Europe, and the summer festival is in the U.K., and is this going to end up a longer tour than the one for She Loves You, which I think was a world's record, wasn't it?
No, that was written wrong. Blackberry Bell and She Loves You comprised 100 shows.
Oof.
But it was, I mean, the Afghan Whigs congregation tour was 260 shows.
Party.
So, yeah.
I think Powder Burns, Almost With You, is a triple entendre.
Sure.
It's not a double entendre. I'd go for a triple. And you had 30 songs, right?
Right.
So tell me how the process, we don't have enough time for the whole process, but how we got it down to what we've heard on the record.
30 songs, those were not 30 good songs or great songs. It was 20 great songs, and cutting the 8 was hard.
This feels like a record, you know. There's not two sides on it, but this feels like a record.
I like the, I think I'm... quite anachronistic in my approach to record making, because I really do like the album feel.
Right.
I loved albums when I was a kid. I grew out of 45s by the time I was like 7 or 8, and loved hearing the other songs. So, you know, once I started, like, you know, when I was like 5 or 6 listening to the B-side of a 45, you know, I figured there must be more to it than that. And it was probably the Rolling Stones that got me into records. You know, like they were the, I think the first album that I bought when I was like, let's say 9, was Sticky Fingers. and I loved the whole album, and I had no idea what was going on.
And it was an album. For those listeners who haven't gotten to the long bio on your site yet, and that makes for novel reading.
Yeah.
And it was good. Could you talk a little bit about some of the players on the record? And let's start with the obvious, because it's quite the cast. Let's start with Annie and move on. Just tell me a little bit of Joseph. And, oh, yeah, there's Dave Catching and John Curley and Scott Bennett. And
yep.
I mean, so tell me something I don't know about how you assembled this cast.
Well, the one song in particular that has three of those people on it is the song Candy Cane Crawl, which incidentally was the song that got that guy kicked out in Atlanta. I wrote the song to a drum loop on an electric piano in New Orleans, and New Orleans was still pretty messed up at the time. Getting people in and out of it was very difficult, so I sent the files of the song to Cincinnati for John Curley to put the bass on, to New York for my friend Wiz to put the drums on, and to Los Angeles for my friend Scott Bennett to put the vocals on. Scott Bennett plays in Brian Wilson's band, and I asked him to do a Beach Boys type, a Pet Sounds-ish vocal overlay on it. Annie is Mike Napolitano's girlfriend, so she was upstairs recording her record at the same time. She came down, heard the song, and heard a harmony, asked if I would mind if she laid a harmony on it. I said, of course not. And so within a day, comprising four cities.
The internet's an amazing thing.
Without leaving the room, it was that song was complete.
So as time goes on, you know, what was your memory like to record some of those songs? You know, was it even more surreal now than when you did it recording during the curfew? Was it, you look back on it and you say, I did that. Wow.
We just played there on the 7th of June, and the fact that it had not changed much since I left in December, that it was still as messed up as it is, was shocking to me. And now, I don't know if you heard, but the National Guard is moving back in because there's a big spate of murder going on down
there.
There's
the crime thing's out of control.
The crime thing's out of control. They thought a lot of the, you know, criminals moved out. When there is, nature hates a vacuum, and that, you know, New Orleans, I don't know how many times I have to say it, is a port city,
yeah.
And drugs come through a port city.
Indeed.
And it is a big drug city. And so the drug dealers I used to
frequent
when I was using drugs, you know, who I still know, they told me when I was down there that, you know, most people were cashing their FEMA checks and buying drugs with them. And there was, you know, there's a degree of hopelessness down there that I thought would have slowly begun to evaporate, but I just don't see it yet. And it will happen. There will be a New Orleans Renaissance, but boy, it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of love and people to do that. That said, getting back to your original question, I will never forget my time before or after Katrina, but the time after Katrina and the what we had to do to just turn machines on to record was, you know, it was a testament to how much we wanted to be there, because it was not easy to do. Power kept going out. We'd be in the middle of a great take, and there would be, you know,
kind of like the sound check. No, just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Like it would be like a rolling blackout, and I'm hoping that was an aberration.
Yeah.
I think that I think in a lot of ways it. I had a real dedication to finishing the record in New Orleans, and I'm really happy that I did. I think some of the songs that I wrote after the fact, after being down there after the hurricane, are some of my favorite songs that I've ever written.
What will the record with the other gentlemen in the room be like?
Well, we've got about 8 or 10 songs that we're kind of done with, and I think our plan is to have 8 or 10 more and be able to whittle it down to a 12 to 14 song record. And it's impossible to describe because it doesn't fit in any neat genre pocket or anything like that. You know, there are folk elements, country, blues, rock and roll elements, and sweeping majestic string situations. So
I'm going to draw a parallel, which is always dangerous to do in an interview, but I've interviewed a lot of, I don't want to say survivors, but a lot of people that have worked through a lot of stuff. John Doe, Evan Dando, you. And it occurred to me that the album's getting raves, your album. Evan's recording new Lemonheads tracks. New York is recovering. New Orleans got a long way to go. But it is getting a lot of support from the music business. You know, I mean, I've gotten so many New Orleans benefit things. So where do you think things are going, you know, just in terms of the world and music and all that? Because you definitely are in a space where you've made a great record and things are positive. So what do you make of all of this?
Of all the New Orleans stuff?
Well, of all the New Orleans stuff, but also the fact that a lot of people that have been through a lot of things have come back and made it through it in the past couple of years and are making great music.
I think, you know, that's been going on forever, you know?
Right.
I mean, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley.
But it makes for great press, yeah. Doesn't it?
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, Mark and I just watched 68 Comeback the other day. And, you know, I mean, that Elvis was passé and,
right.
and came back and knocked everybody out. I think when people give up, that's when, you know, that's when you die. Creatively, literally, figuratively, all of that, you know. It's the, you know, it's literally the what doesn't kill you makes you stronger kind of routine.
You think there'll ever be a label like the old Sub Pop again?
I think the new Sub Pop is doing pretty well.
They're doing okay. They've got an interesting mix.
Yeah.
They pulled back. For a while there was a little in question.
Got a little gay.
Yeah.
But I think that, yes, I do. You know, I mean, I looked at Sub Pop as an extension of like a regional situation, not unlike Motown, Stax,
yeah,
TSOP, any of that regional kind of Chess, you know. I mean,
no, it's true. You know, I've never thought of it that way. It's really true.
You know, it just, you know.
But it wasn't genre based, interestingly enough.
No, well, I mean,
it was for a while,
yeah,
during that little sliver.
But I mean, even, you know, like Twin Tone.
Four more minutes.
Twin Tone was genre based, you know.
Okay, the last thing we like to do, we're going to do a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
Two of your songs is the bread. And then I bring in CDs and records, and you're going to give me anything you want to play on the radio in between.
Okay. My two songs are going to be $40 and I Wish I Was. Schizophrenia by Sonic Youth. What's that song on... oh God, it's the song I've been thinking of. Mark, what's the song on, you know, Metal, the Pink Floyd record? It goes, do, 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 boom, do, 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 Seamus. It's with Roy Harper's dog in the background.
What?
Something's On Your Mind by Karen Dalton. Can you find that one?
I can find any.
Okay. Fresh As I'm Is by Little Bow Wow. Shot Down in Flames by AC/DC. Bell by Al Green. Honky Tonkin' by Hank Williams. Fearless by Pink Floyd. It's on Metal. It's called Fearless.
Go.
That's the one. Welcome to Jam Rock by Damian Marley. And one last one. Downtown by Petula Clark.